Well, praise the Lord. Good to be in church tonight. I kind of threw the pastor a little curve tonight. He asked for all the teenagers to say praise the Lord, and I belted out a praise the Lord, and he looked at me like I didn't hear him. I heard him. I knew what he said, but I felt like a teenager tonight. I couldn't help it. I just feel really young tonight. Not childish, but young. Oh, not childish anyway. You know, I was talking to my son on the phone a couple of days ago, and he often gives me one-liners. In fact, we swap them. I give some to him, and he gives some to me. And in fact, he even publishes on the internet a thought for the day. And I'm being asked to go back to publishing, to doing mine. Mine is the partnership power, which I did for quite a while. And I guess I'm going to probably start it up again. But the thought that Scott gave me was this. I really liked it. The greatest gift you can give anyone is to be intimate with God. Think about that. The greatest gift you can give anyone is being intimate with God. Now, he stopped right there. He didn't preach. He didn't go any further. Just gave me the quote. But I thought about it. And I believe that's true. If I'm going to be a blessing to anybody, if I'm going to be a source of encouragement or help to anyone, step number one is to be intimate with God. To really, really know the Lord. And to be personally excited about the Lord. Wow. How are you doing on your kingdom assignment? I hope you're praying about it, asking God what He would like you to do, how you can be a help to somebody, find a need and fill it, find a hurt and heal it. And it can be something small. It could be something really big. The size is not the issue. It's just to have that frame of mind that says, I want to fulfill my kingdom assignment. And I really do believe everybody has one. Many of us haven't discovered what it is. And so we need to pray and ask God to show us what our assignment is. And I believe if we'll do that, God will richly bless us. Now, there's some assignments that I think are general. There's some assignments that are specific, you know, for you and you, and there's a specific one for me. But then there's also some kingdom assignments that apply to everybody. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about a kingdom assignment that I think is all of ours. And it will make a huge difference. I've always been interested in things that had a lot of power. I used to sell construction equipment, and I always enjoyed demonstrating a piece of machinery that had a lot of power. I always wanted to prove how powerful they were, you know. And just kind of really, really liked that. They had a family day, Labor Day, at Frankfurt. I couldn't remember where I was. At Frankfurt, and one of the fellows there lit a bundle of sparklers. And the first bundle that he lit had 250 sparklers in it. And I'll tell you, that made quite a bomb. That thing went off. I'm telling you, it rattled windows. It was really something. And I was talking to him a few minutes later. He said, you know, Brother Faye, in my car, I've got one that's got 650 sparklers in it sitting in the car over there. I said, you're going to light that one too? He said, yeah. He lit right up. He got really excited. Yeah, I'm going to light that one. He said, I've never done one that big before. So he put that baby under a barrel. And I'm telling you, that barrel took off like a rocket. I was hoping nobody was going to be under it when it landed. But I'm telling you, that thing was powerful. I'd never dreamed you could make a bomb out of sparklers. But he did. Pretty powerful thing. I like power. I'm going to talk to you about a subject tonight that is powerful. Very, very powerful. Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. I had a fellow tell me one time, Brother Faye, Don't preach out of the Old Testament. Preach out of the New. Well, I frankly like preaching out of both. My Old Testament is Bible, and my New Testament is Bible, and I like them both. And I like this passage of Scripture. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. You might want to underline that in your Bible. With joy. For the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Again tonight, I'm addressing especially the young people that are here, but this applies to all of us. I hope that you feel like me tonight. I feel real young. I hope you do too. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, it's me again, and I've come to you so many times and asked for help. And Lord, tonight again, one more time, I need your help. And so I'm asking, Lord, that your Spirit will quicken my mind and you'll sanctify my words and you'll help me to be a blessing, that your name may be glorified and the body of Christ will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another verse of Scripture that I want to call to your attention tonight is found in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is a very powerful thing. It really is. Joy is very powerful. In fact, if the church, the body of Christ, doesn't have joy, it's weak. It's anemic. Non-productive, unfruitful. And God's plan for his church is that we be fruitful. God's plan for every single Christian is that we be a blessing. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to ask God to bless you. Because if God doesn't bless you, you can't be a blessing. You can't give what you don't have. Amen? You want people around you to be happy? Be happy yourself. How do you affect the people around you? Amen. What's it like at your house? Is it a happy place? I hope it is. A friend of mine was looking in the mirror, and he started to talk to himself, and he said, John, you're not very good looking. But then he smiled and he said, John, that helps. That wasn't your pastor, that was John Maxwell. But I remember, you know, when he told us that, I thought, yeah, that helps. Your pastor and I were downtown today. Can you call that downtown? I mean, whatever that is, you know. We were down in this big metropolis down here, and a lady was walking up the sidewalk, and I smiled at her, and the poor lady almost tripped. I mean, it was really funny. I really enjoyed it. It was just so neat. I mean, I guess wasn't expecting a stranger to smile. I just smiled at her, and she kind of did a double take, and you know, it took her a minute, but she did smile back. I got one back, you know. And, you know, there's something powerful about what we give to people. And by the way, we're giving to people all the time. And like I told you, some people brighten up the room when they walk in, some people brighten it when they walk out. You know. And it's kind of up to us the kind of person we're going to be. And if we're going to be a blessing, it must be intentional. It's got to be on purpose. And you cannot, you hear me, you cannot really be a good influence, you cannot be a blessing without joy in your heart. You can't be spiritually strong without joy. The Bible made it clear, and I already read it to you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Some people never seem to understand that. They want to be strong in the Lord, but they tend to resist anything that will produce joy in their life. Why anybody would do that, I don't have a clue. I don't understand it. Psalm 16, verse 11, says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." And I really like this next one. "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Some people have stinking thinking. Yeah. And they've got this idea that the only people that have pleasure are sinners. Well, if that's the case, then I'm a real big one then. I'm a real sinner. If having pleasure is illegal, they need to put me in jail. Amen. I was downtown again, downtown here. I was downtown yesterday, and a lady asked me, she said, "How are you?" I said, "I am so happy. I said, I feel so good. I feel like I need to apologize for it." "Oh," she said, "I never heard that one before." I said that going through the checkout counter at the store a few days previous to that. I responded that way, and the lady threw her hands in the air and said, "Oh my, did you just win the lottery?" And I said, "No." Jesus said that we're to be the light of the world, that we're to be the salt of the earth, that we're to make a difference in our culture. And listen, I don't want to make anybody mad at me tonight. I want you to love me. But I believe in our dress code. I believe in conservatism. You know, I believe in all that. Okay. But that in itself isn't going to win anybody to God. And I'm not saying, don't get nervous. I don't mean if we forsake it, we'll be better. No. But I'm saying the stuff I'm talking about comes out of the heart. It doesn't come out of the clothes we wear. It comes out of the heart. I mean, you can dress in a uniform and it isn't going to make anybody hungry for God. But I'll tell you something, folks. It's what comes out of the heart that makes people hungry for God. Amen? And there's power in it. There's tremendous power in it. There's power and joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Young people, I really want you to get this, because God has a kingdom assignment for you, and one of the part of that assignment is to be an influence in other people's lives. And you can't if you don't like what you've got, I don't want what you have. You follow me? A guy tried to sell me a Volkswagen one time. I mean, a car salesman at a Volkswagen dealership tried to sell me a Volkswagen. I'm telling you, you should have heard this guy. He had a real spiel. I mean, he told me how wonderful Volkswagens were. And, you know, I began to smell a rat. Something wasn't just 100%. So I said to him, "Do you drive one?" No, but they're really good. You know, well, if they're really good, why don't you drive one? Amen? I'm not, this is no pitch for Volkswagens tonight, okay? If you're not enjoying your religion, I don't want the kind you have. God's intention for every one of us is that we have something that's contagious. You know what people ought to say about you? They ought to say something like this: if I ever get religion, I want the kind they have. You know what people ought to say about this church? Every church has a reputation. And I don't know what your reputation is, but I'll tell you what it ought to be. Everybody that knows about this church, there's a couple of things they ought to be able to say truthfully. They ought to be able to say, wow, boy, those people love each other up there. Amen. They ought to say, well, I tell you one thing, you go to that church, they will make you feel welcome. A couple came to our church, visited one Sunday morning. Nice couple. He was a military, he was an employee at a military air base, but he was a civilian, and he was there to do some computer work. He was actually a civilian, but employed by the military. And they kept coming. And so after several weeks, I was really puzzled, and so I went to him, and I said, I happen to know that you visited every church in this area, or at least a whole lot of them. I want to know why you settled on this one. And Pastor, you know what I wanted him to say? Same thing you would have liked him to say. I wanted him to say, it's because of your wonderful preaching. He never said a thing about my preaching. Okay? He said, well, Brother Faye, it's very simple. He said, the first Sunday we showed up, we had 7 invitations home for dinner that day. He said, I knew we were good for 7 weeks. I was so proud of our people. I really was. Amen? You know, if anybody in the whole world ought to be people, it's holiness folk. Oh, but Brother Faye, you know, that's your personality. Well, I'm not talking about personality tonight. I'm talking about the body of Christ being an influence in the culture it's a part of. If you've got some problems there, work on them. If you're bashful and backward, step out of the box. Get out of your comfort zone. Oh, Brother Faye, I couldn't cook for strangers. Well, try it sometime. Amen. I'm having so much fun tonight. It's probably illegal to enjoy this as much as I am. I'm loving watching your faces tonight. It is really, wow. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, young people, I've had other young people come to me and say something like this: Brother Faye, I just want to find myself. Well, you're never going to find yourself, okay? I can say, well, look, you know, take the interstate, go across the state, go across Ohio, go across Pennsylvania, go across New York on Interstate 90, go across Massachusetts on Interstate 90, go to Boston, go north, and get on the Nantucket Highway, and then get off the highway and walk on the Nantucket Beach, and there you'll find yourself. That'd be pretty dumb, wouldn't it? It isn't going to happen. Nobody ever found themselves. (laughs) If you're looking, you may as well put on the brakes. You're not going to find yourself. I'll tell you what, though. You can discover yourself. And you discover yourself through commitment. Nobody ever discovered their true self without commitment. It's when we're committed to something bigger than we are that we discover who we are. And when you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and His claim on your life, I mean really commit to it, you will find real joy. Amen. I believe that. That's what happened to me. When I yielded my entire life to the Lord, God put joy in my heart. And I have joy in my heart even when things aren't going good. And that's nothing to do with me. That's not something you can give me credit for. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A lady in my church one time got so frustrated with me. And she said, "Brother Fay, the trouble with you is nothing ever bothers you." And I wanted to say, "Go look in the mirror and you'll see who bothers me." I didn't do that. I didn't say that. But you know, folks, I hope you're hearing me with your heart tonight. Some people, everything bothers them. I mean, their feelings are, they wear them right there at their skin level. And boy, I mean, ooh, they're touchy and jumpy. And those kind of people are never happy. And I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I don't want to be like them. And this is even worse. I don't even like to be around them. They suck the oxygen out of my air. And I happen to like oxygen real well. Okay? I better hurry. I got a lot of pages here. Oh, my goodness. But joy is a byproduct of commitment. I've had young people say, "Brother Fay, all I want is to be happy." But if you seek happiness, you will never find it. Now, wait a minute. You can be happy. I mean, go ahead, take a look. I am. You know, you can be happy, but I'm not happy because I sought happiness. Happiness is a byproduct. Happiness isn't something you seek. And you know, the world seeks happiness, and they keep seeking it. And it's like a bursting bubble. They almost get it, and it's gone. You know, if they only could achieve this, or accomplish this, or go there, or visit here, or do whatever, then I'll be happy. And they get it, or they go there, and it happens, and they're still not happy. When they interviewed the richest man in the world, this is many years ago, he's dead now, but he was the richest man in the world at the time when they interviewed him. There were 13 interviewers that interviewed him. It wasn't in person, it was all done by electronics, but they interviewed him and they asked him a whole bunch of questions. And I remember I was listening to the radio, listening to this interview. It was Howard Hughes. He's been dead quite a few years, but you remember Howard Hughes, the owner of Hughes Tool Company. He was the richest man in the world at the time. And I thought, why doesn't one of these interviewers ask him if he's happy? Right toward the end of the interview, one of the interviewers said, "Mr. Hughes, are you happy?" It didn't take him a second to respond. He said, "No." The richest man in the world wasn't happy. And that man could have bought anything money could buy. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't fulfilled. Things don't provide what I'm talking about tonight. They really don't. And young people and all the rest of us need to hear this. We need to be on the search for things that really matter in life. And a result of searching for the things that really matter in life will produce joy. I had a very, very, very difficult experience in my life at a certain time, and I won't go into the details, but it was a very painful, difficult thing that I went through. And someone came up to me and said, "Brother Fay, we know you're hurting. We know you're suffering. We know you've been going through a terrible, terrible time. And you don't need to cover up. You can just..." And I said, "I'm not covering up." I said, "Yeah, I'm hurting, but I haven't lost the joy." That's a wonderful thing. Well, I look back. Why do I thank God for that? And I'm not talking about something weird or strange. Yes, I was hurting. Yes, there was some pain in my life. But that didn't take the joy out. I wasn't hilarious and but I tell you, the joy of the Lord is a whole lot different than the joy of the world. And the scripture I read to you tonight tells us that in His presence, and that's why we need the presence of God in our homes, in our church, and in our heart. We need God so much. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That tells me that joy is not illegal, and neither are pleasures. Now, the pleasures of sin are. But I think we've twisted that a little bit, and we've kind of got the idea that all pleasure is wrong. No, some pleasures are wrong, but not all pleasure is wrong. In fact, we better have some. And if you don't have any, then I want to ask you another question. Where are you living? Because the Bible says, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen? We find joy, we find pleasure, we find satisfaction, we find life's meaning, we find our purpose in life when we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ with all of our heart. Commitment is very, very important. Wow. In the late 1890s, Mr. Blondin strung a tightrope across Niagara Falls. You've probably all read about this. And then he walked across that tightrope with 10,000 people cheering him on. When he finished walking all the way across that tightrope, they begin to scream out, "Blondin! Blondin! Blondin!" All right? He raised his arms, quieted the crowd, said, "Do you believe in me?" And they said, "We believe! We believe! We believe!" Then Mr. Blondin quieted the crowd down again and said, "All right, I'm going to go back across the tightrope again, but I'm going to carry somebody with me." "Do you believe I can do it?" And they said, "We believe! We believe! We believe!" He quieted the crowd and he said, "All right, who will climb on my shoulders?" And the crowd went dead. Finally, a man from the back of the crowd came walking forward and he said, "I'll get on your shoulders and go across." And for 3.5 hours, he inched his way across that tightrope. The illustration point is simply this. 10,000 people hollered, "We believe." but only one would commit. Folks, we can say we believe, but it's something else to commit to what we believe. And only committed people have real joy. And I tell you again, joy is a very, very powerful thing. Wow. This matter of being joyful is not solely for our own happiness. It's not just a self-serving thing. It's an integral part of God's plan for your life. I'm not talking about this just because I want everybody to be giddy and happy and, you know. No, this is an integral part of God's plan for His people. Wow. Without it, we miss our purpose on old planet Earth. And I told you the other night, I don't want to live and die and miss the purpose of my existence. No, the purpose of my existence isn't to be happy. But the purpose of my existence is to live a life such that somebody else will be hungry for what I have. Is somebody else interested in God because of your love and devotion to the Lord? How contagious are you? I was riding along in a wagon with my uncle many, many years ago. I was just a little boy, and the horses were pulling this wagon, and it was going up a lane on his dairy farm, and on either side of the lane were apple trees. And I remember my uncle, as we went up that lane, he reached up and he plucked one of those apples off the apple tree. You know, crunch, and the juice ran down his chin. You know, boy, did that apple look good. So I had to get one, too. He made that apple look so good. One night after church, when my kids were small, I made a Dagwood sandwich. Now, I don't know if you know what a Dagwood sandwich is. That's when you empty the refrigerator and put it between two slices of bread. And so I made this Dagwood sandwich, and my daughter Vicky said, "Dad, I don't even like those sandwiches, but you make it look so good. Would you make one for me?" I must have been drooling a little, I don't know. You know, every one of us need to live our lives so committed, so dedicated to God, that the joy of our life becomes evident to those around us. Amen. Joy is only possible, however, when we love. And love is only possible when we refuse to judge. I want you to see the progression. Joy is only possible when we love. And love is only possible when we refuse to judge. Did you notice in Scripture that the prohibition is judging and the command is loving? We're commanded to love. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're commanded even to love our enemies. And we're forbidden to judge. The Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." So we're forbidden to judge and we're commanded to love. But it's a lot easier to judge. So we've got to guard our heart. And we have to guard what we say. We have to guard our thinking. Wow. The church is supposed to be a community of outrageous love and outrageous joy. And this will never happen as long as we're addicted to judging. It is an addiction. Did you know that? Wow. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Did it ever dawn on you? God never intended in creation for man to have this judging ability, this knowledge of good and evil? Think about that. By the way, I'm sure it was good fruit. I mentioned that the other night. I imagine it was good fruit. Nothing wrong with the fruit. The problem was God said no. And there was a reason for it. And this knowledge of good and evil, this ability to judge, has been a curse to man ever since. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean we're not to evaluate what's right and wrong. We have to. But our job isn't to go around and judge people. I'm not to judge you, brother. I'm not to judge you. I am to love you. I'm commanded to love you. And I'm forbidden to judge you. But I tell you what, we've got a problem. I believe it's one of the things that is hindering the advancement of the kingdom right now. Maybe more than anything else. Many people in our churches have become addicted to judging. And it's crushing the joy out of our lives. And when the joy is gone, guess what else is gone? Our strength. God wants the church to be powerful. Very powerful. Oh, Brother Faith, we'll pray enough, we'll be powerful. Well, I believe in prayer. Well, we've got to eliminate some things. You don't just add prayer, you have to eliminate things. You know, when a person gets saved, sure, they're forgiven, but they stop the sin business. Amen? All right? And there's some things, you know why we have revival? We have revival because there's some things we need to stop and there's some things we need to start. And one of the things that we need to stop, if we're ever going to impact our communities for Christ, we're going to have to stop the judging business and start getting serious about the love thing. That's why I preached the message on our kingdom assignment. And if we'll ask God, show me how I can show love. Show me how I can demonstrate love. Show me how I can really care for somebody and how I can show an interest in them and help them, how I can heal or help. Wow. I'll tell you what, God will increase the influence of the church in a powerful way. Oh, my. Forgive me, I can't remember if I told you this or not, but I'm going to go ahead and use this illustration anyway. Back when I was a teenager and dating Judy, I asked her if I could borrow her car. Did I tell this? No, okay. I said to my sister Juana, "Can I borrow your car? I have a date tonight with Judy, the eighth wonder of the world, the queen. She's just an incredible girl." And I wanted to, I had a car, but my car was a little six-cylinder Ford. And this Dodge was a Coronet hardtop convertible with a 440 engine. It was an awesome car. It was pretty hot. And so before I picked her up, I came to a red light. And there was a guy sitting beside me at the red light with a souped-up Ford. And the hood had been cut out and four Harley carburetors in line and dual exhaust and Hollywood mufflers. And he sat at the red light fanning the accelerator. Now, when I was a boy, this was music, okay? I still like it. And it went like this. And then he did one of these numbers. Does anybody know what that meant? You don't want to admit you know what it meant, but you know what it meant. Now, young people, don't do what I did, okay? When that light changed, I put the pedal to the metal, and so did he. You know what he was doing when he was fanning that accelerator? He was sending a message. And he was saying, buddy, I've got power under this hood. But he didn't have a clue on what I had under the hood of that Dodge. And all he saw were my taillights going out of sight. And as far as I know, he's still looking for me. And folks, you know what we do spiritually? We do the same thing. We rev our spiritual engine. We think we're powerful. We think we're strong. We think we're hot, and we're not. But God. God is. God has the power, and He wants you and I to be channels of that power. He wants us to be vessels under water, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. Amen. So we've got to be God-dependent. And the joy comes from, you knew I'd get to this probably, but the joy comes from being connected. Yeah, you're right, we're going to do it. Because it's an awesome thing when you're connected to the power and the power flows, wonderful things happen. That's why these lights are shining. They're connected to a source of energy. You break the connection between these lights and the source of energy, and it's over. Amen? Aren't you glad you're connected tonight? Hallelujah. Let's do it. Are you ready? Here we go. Grease your elbow a little bit. Here we go. He's old. He has to use a little grease. Here we go. I'm connected. Wow, you got it, Warren. That is good. Let's do it one more time because some of you weren't sure, I could tell. Here we go. I'm connected. Wow. When you're connected to God, you're connected to the one that provides the joy, the strength, the energy, and the help to be whatever it is God wants us to be. Are you God dependent tonight? And do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? I want us to bow our heads here just right now, and I want us to search our hearts. I'm not talking about something silly or cheap or shallow, but I'm talking about real joy. Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? The Bible makes it clear the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're not aware of God's strength in you, you may need to do a little checkup and ask God to restore the joy. This altar's open if somebody wants to come and pray tonight. If you've lost the joy, the good news is God will restore it. If the joy bells aren't ringing anymore, I've got good news for you. They can ring again. I've got wonderful news for you. If you've lost the joy, it can be restored to your heart. And I want to tell you this, folks, it's extremely important that we have that joy. One has come, would there be another? You'd like to come and ask God to restore the joy of your salvation. To help you to be the kind of instrument or vessel or channel that He wants you to be. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Without the joy, we will not have the impact. We will not be the influence. We will not be the shining light that God intends for us to be. Anyone else want to pray tonight? Let's stand together. This altar's open. I want you to know tonight that there's a God that is not mean. He's not unkind. He really cares about you. He does want you to have joy. But it's not just self-serving. It's so that you can be an influence for His glory, for His kingdom. Anyone else want to pray tonight? God is here tonight. I thank God for His presence. I don't know about you, but I feel tonight in my own heart like this is something that I need to guard. The devil wants to rob you of your joy. The devil wants to take that joy away. And if he can rob you of your joy, he will rob you of your effectiveness as a Christian. The church will not have the influence that God intended it to be if the joy is gone. We're not talking about something silly or shallow or superficial. We're talking about something that's deep within the heart, something in the soul of each and every one of us that absolutely will make a difference in our ability to affect and influence other people. God wants every one of us to be an influence, to be a channel, a vessel through whom He can work. Anyone else want to? The altar's open. Are you committed? Are you dedicated? Are you surrendered? So that God can do whatever He wants in your life. That's what produces the joy. Sing it with me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I'd like several to gather in around the altar. We want to have a season of prayer with these that have come. The rest of you may be seated where you are or leave quietly. We want to have a time of prayer together. Ask God to help us here. God bless you. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. Oh, God, help us here tonight.